Good afternoon, everybody. It's nice to see so many friendly faces and fans of ReAIM. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to build off the first two presentations and talk about how we use ReAIM as a planning and evaluation tool for communities engaged in worksite wellness. And my example today will be using a built environment strategy. I have no relationships to disclose. And so my learning objectives for today is I just want to briefly describe the current evidence and gaps related to evaluating worksite wellness interventions. I want to illustrate how the ReAIM model is used as a planning tool to design a worksite wellness program, and highlight some of the strengths and limitations of using ReAIM for evaluation of worksite strategies. So we all know what a serious problem obesity is. So in 2005, here in Colorado, in response to the rising rates of obesity, some major stakeholders, including Kaiser Permanente, got together to form a partnership designed to increase healthy eating and active living in Colorado, with a specific focus on ethnically diverse and underserved communities. This effort was so successful that it's evolved into its own nonprofit with a board of directors and 501c3 designation. And this nonprofit is now known as Live Well Colorado. And its mission statement is that Live Well Colorado strives to inspire and advance policy, environmental and lifestyle changes that promote health through the prevention and reduction of obesity. And as part of their goal to improve the health of all people in Colorado, LiveWell provides 5 to 7 years of grant funding to communities to address obesity through strategies that promote healthy eating and active living. And this map shows Colorado and all the communities that LiveWell is currently funding. They started out just funding 3 communities here in Denver and now have expanded to 22 communities across the state. And LiveWell uses a multi-sector approach. Because research shows that behavior change is more likely to occur if multiple sectors of the community are involved. And so this shows the 4 sectors that they're working in. Most of the strategies take place in the community setting, but LiveWell also works with the healthcare setting, school setting, and worksite settings. And they fund currently funding about 360 strategies, and worksite wellness makes up about 10% of that. So in addition to being part of a comprehensive approach to wellness, the worksite is an important place to reach people for a number of reasons. For one, the number of people who are at the workforce and the amount of time spent there make it a great setting to potentially reach at-risk adults. And also from an employer perspective, worksite wellness interventions have been associated with increased productivity and improved morale. So in addition to trying to reach people through multiple sectors, LiveWell also tries to reach people in multiple ways, such as policy changes, programmatic changes, and environmental changes. In the worksite setting, policy changes are typically organizational policies, such as policies that allow for more time for physical activity during the workday, or policies that require dietary labeling on cafeteria selections or vending machine selections. Programmatic changes are things like exercise classes or health seminars. And built environment changes tend to be things like, creating a walking path around the building, or making modifications to staircases, or in this case, here's a picture of a cubicle gym. So given these different types of evaluation or interventions, it's important to evaluate them to see what kind of impact they're having. And a review of the literature using the ReAIM framework to assess worksite wellness evaluation practices found that most studies report on participation and effectiveness, such as behavioral outcomes and attrition rates. However, most studies did not assess representativeness by comparing characteristics of participants against those who didn't participate in the interventions. And the few studies that did found that participants tend to be older, better educated, and have a healthier diet, which suggests self-selection. In terms of adoption, most studies describe the number of work sites participating, but they don't tend to compare that against the number of all eligible work sites in a community. In terms of implementation, studies do not typically report on cost of the program, staff time required, and the extent to which the intervention was delivered as planned. Most studies also don't report on the long-term sustainability of the interventions. So with these gaps in mind, LiveWell uses a ReAIM framework to evaluate their strategies and also help communities design and plan interventions that will reach those most in need. So what I'd like to do now is take you through an example of how a community would use ReAIM to design and evaluate a worksite strategy. So for our example, I'm going to suppose that a community wants to increase stair usage at worksites by implementing point of decision prompts. And point of decision prompts are evidence-based strategies that involve placing signs near stairs and elevators to encourage people to take the stairs instead of the elevator. So here's an example of a point of decision prompt, which says, walking upstairs burns almost 5 times more calories than riding in an elevator. And this is an example of a built environment change. So what we'd start out with is we ask the communities to report at 2 times. At the beginning of the grant year, we ask them to report on their plan using the ReAIM framework. And at the end of the year, we ask them to report on their progress. So thinking about reach, we ask the communities to think about the denominator or the target population, who could be reached by this strategy. And in the case of worksite wellness, the target population is working adults in the community, and this number can be obtained from the census. And say, for example, there are 25,000 working adults in our community. Then for potential reach, we ask the communities to think about how many people will likely be impacted by this strategy in the next year. So for our community, we're planning on working with 2 worksites with each 200 employees apiece. They could predict about 400 employees to be reached. Then at the end of the year, we assess progress by asking how many were actually reached and assessing that number against the target population. In this example, if the community were only able to place point of decision prompts in 1 worksite and they think they reached about 150 people, this is about a less than 1% reach of working adults in the community. We use the E in ReAIM for 2 ways. We use it for evidence base and effectiveness. For the plans, we ask the community, is this strategy evidence-based? And in our example, it is. This point of decision prompts are recommended by the community guide. We also want to know if it's a new or innovative strategy. Then we want to know what outcomes they're measuring. For example, the number of people using the stairs. And what evaluation methods they plan on using, surveys, focus groups, observations. And in our stair example, if a community had used a pre and post observation and found that 100 people used the stairs before the point of decision prompts and about 150 people used them afterwards, that we can get a sense of how effective this intervention's been. And we also get some qualitative data from employees or employers on how the changes have impacted the worksite. For adoption, we use it similar to the way we use reach. We ask for the number of work sites in a community. The community usually gets this from the Chamber of Commerce. In this example, we could say about 700 work sites, and we ask how many they would plan to work with. And then for progress, we want to know how many they actually worked with, which in this example, again, would be less than 1% of all possible work sites in this community. And qualitatively, we want to know what were some barriers that may have prohibited other work sites from adopting this strategy. So for example, if the community lost its worksite wellness coordinator who was a champion of this, that might be a reason that the barrier occurred. For implementation, we want to know how they plan to implement the strategy, such as timeline and steps. And if it was evidence-based, then for progress, we want to know if it was implemented according to plan. And if it was an evidence-based strategy, did they need to deviate from the plan in order to implement it in a real-world setting? The communities also report on cost and barriers to implementation. And for maintenance, we want to know how they will maintain the strategy. And progress, we want to know, we usually get this in narrative form, and so this could be something like a commitment from the building manager to maintain the point of decision prompts. So what I've just gone over is an example of how one community engaged in one strategy would use ReAIM as a planning and evaluation tool. And it has its strengths as a planning tool to get the communities to think about the dimensions of ReAIM. And for an evaluation tool, it allows us to see if who the intervention is reaching, whether or not it's effective, and whether it's sustainable. Where it gets a little tricky is when you're dealing with multiple strategies in multiple communities. So here at LiveWell, we're working with 22 communities, all engaged in different degrees of involvement with worksites. Some just provide mini grants, and some are more directly involved with the changes. And collectively, the 22 communities are working with 434 work sites, each involved with different types of strategies, such as policy, program, and environmental change. So let's say, where it becomes challenging from an evaluation standpoint, is let's say you have a community whose worksite has made their staircase modification, and we know they reached about 150 people, and that same worksite also has a noontime yoga class that reached 50 people. What we don't know, since we don't track the names of the individual participants, if 200 unique people have been reached, or some of the same people have been reached through multiple exposures. Then let's say that the community has also funded a farmer's market that reached 2,000 people. We don't know if the people who attended the farmer's market are the same people who benefited from the worksite wellness. So therefore, it's kind of sometimes difficult to determine multiple exposures against an aggregated reach number. So moving forward, we want to continue to use REAIM as a planning tool. And to address some of these evaluation limitations, we want to look at using some standardized instruments across strategies so we can better aggregate our information. And we're also looking at collecting richer descriptions and characteristics of adopters and persons reached so we can better describe representativeness. And finally, we're looking at evaluating more integration between sectors. For example, if a community improved transportation, which allowed people to bike and walk to work, we want to evaluate how that's impacting across these various sectors. And so finally, I just want to thank Loopwell Colorado and Kaiser Permanente's Community Benefit Department and all the communities who worked so hard to make a difference.